Hello, sports fans. It's Tuesday, October 29th, 2024. Welcome to Cleats by Dre. I'm Dre. Let's talk some sports. Could we be done with the sports equinoxes? New York, please. Can New York, like, withdraw? I feel like this is the Dave Chappelle racial draft version. Like, the delegation, the New York delegation would like to withdraw from any more sports equinoxes. Let's get the football teams off the prime time. Let's say goodbye to the Yankees. I can't do the sports equinoxes anymore. Let's see. Monday night, we had Giants versus Steelers, Yankees versus Dodgers, Knicks versus Cavs. They all lost. Coming off the back of the Jets losing on Sunday. First, great win for Notre Dame. And I really enjoyed, I hope you do too, the panel with James and Mike, my buds, last week. Always fun to do that. There's gonna be some good Notre Dame times coming up. So I'm gonna do that, but I gotta do a quick farewell to this season of New York sports. I can't do with these sports equinoxes anymore. It's Monday night. I had the pleasure to be in Southern California this past weekend with the missus. Really good buddy from college. Congratulations, Amin. Tying the knot. Had a great time. Yeah, sure, we were in L.A. For that game one, that Freddie Freeman bomb. What a beast he is. Crowded bar of Dodgers fans. Good for them. They love their baseball out there. I think I saw some quick TV stats. The ratings, local ratings in the LA market, much higher than those in the New York market for the Yankees. Maybe it's a Yankees-Mets split. Whatever you want to say, LA loves their Dodgers. But yeah, wonderful weekend. I come back. You know, we're getting in the groove. It's Monday night. Do I got to watch these three teams lose like this? No more sports equinoxes. I don't need to be up this late eating carbs. I'm like in my kid's closet here. I just ate a small bag of Goldfish. I'm eating my kid's stale popcorn, putting some extra salt on it from like a birthday party 2 weeks ago. Already had some like salted pumpkin seeds, chocolate. Like I can't. I'm on a diet. I can't be eating this stuff. No more sports equinoxes. We're going to get into this. Yeah, we're going to do just a Jets, Giants, Yankees, a three run, and maybe say goodbye to those teams on this pod. But I got to be aware of any more equinoxes. So I'm going to do this live for you all. I'm looking ahead at the schedules. Let's start with the Giants. I'm doing this live, get my live reaction. Oh, the Giants might be done with primetime games. Thank the Lord. They lost to the Steelers tonight, 26-18. They lost to the Bengals 2 weeks ago in primetime, 17-7. They lost that Thursday game to the Cowboys, 20-15. Am I missing any primetimes? No. I think they're done. I mean, they have the weird Panthers Sunday morning in London at 9:30. You know, so maybe people watch that. I can't do any more Giants primetime this year. All right, so they're okay. Jets. Oh, here we go. This Thursday, the Texans, 8:15 p.m. The 2-6 Jets hosting the 6-2 Texans. Yankees, if they come back, no, Thursday's the off day, traveling. Okay, good. So not gonna have multiple games there, but Thursday night. Oh, and then they got the Colts Sunday, November 17th, week 11. Yankees will be done. I gotta check Knicks. I gotta check Notre Dame and Duke basketball too, because I know they're not New York teams, but I've had enough times of my teams losing multiple times. I gotta be ready for this. But Texans, wow. That Colts game might get flexed out, right? Yeah, let's cross. All right, no Saturday games. So Notre Dame is going to be clear. Notre Dame is going to be my team over the last four games of the regular season. Great. Let's look at Duke. Duke basketball is getting going soon. I want to talk about that with this crew. Please don't tell me they cross with that Jets game. No, no cross on the 17th. Okay, kind of clear on Duke. We'll start checking Duke against Knicks because Lord knows last year, multiple times, I got a Duke-Knicks loss doubleheader. That wasn't fun. Knicks. Are the Knicks playing any of these Jets? Knicks got a tough schedule to open it up. Knicks play the Nets on the 17th. Okay, so Jets-Colts, you're going up against Knicks-Nets. At least one New York team will win. And I'm watching you Nets beating the Bucks. Nets can be feisty. First Hispanic head coach ever, NBA head coach. Could be feisty. But I think we're done with the Equinoxes. We had one a couple weeks ago. Love that the Liberty slipped in there. Man, congrats to Liberty again. But I can't do it. Can't do these carbs. Can't do these Equinoxes. It's Monday night. I got my oldest. I thought I was getting him around to the Mets. And he's rooting for the Yankees because, you know, he got some friends in school, Yankees fans. And he's stressing out about the Yankees and saying, oh, I don't like when they lose. I can't do it. We, the New York delegation, we withdraw from Equinoxes until we get closer to championships. Submitted. Signed by Cleats by Dre. All right, let's break it down. Let's get to Jets. Let's get to Giants. Let's get to Yankees. And let's say goodnight. Man, that music kind of rocks when I'm in a sour mood, doesn't it? It just lightens you up a little bit. Folks, I'll be honest. This is going to be a light notes episode. I started gathering some stats tonight, but this is just emotion. So let's go Jets, Giants, Yanks. Let's start with the Jets. Oh, my God. I started this podcast really early on, excited about the Jets season. And I need to apologize to Jets fans. It wasn't fair of me. It wasn't fair of me to just jump on to, you know, something that a national kind of handicapper, Brandon Anderson, who I love from the Action Network, I just jumped on to his Super Bowl futures, division futures, everything futures for the Jets. And that was disrespectful. I feel like true Jets fans couldn't get excited for this team in the season. They'd seen so much just go wrong. And I feel disrespectful that I did that. Jets are 2-6. Five straight losses. The dysfunction has metastasized. Let's use a really gross word to use. I talked about it where, you know, the organization dysfunction just showed at 2-3 and just a knee-jerk reaction to fire your head coach. And just think that could do it. That's the spark. Meanwhile, you take your defensive coordinator of a top unit, and now he's frazzled in his first head coaching position to try to figure it out on the fly. So you put everything at risk. But I did have hope for the Jets, you know, going into this last week. Because this is where the schedule turns. The Patriots got to beat the Patriots. And what a letdown. I mean, you've seen the stats rolling around X or Twitter or wherever you get your stats from, right? The Jets are the first team in history to score 20 points in a game, to not turn the ball over, and allow fewer than 250 yards to lose, including the playoffs, 750 games in the NFL history. That hasn't happened. How does that happen? You know, this is the territory we're in with these New York football teams this year. It gets lower and lower with it. What was the crazy stat the Giants had about they scored 3 touchdowns and they lost to a team with 6 field goals in regulation, 7 field goals, the Commanders earlier in the year. It's nuts. The depths get lower and lower. And what I'll say is, you know, I didn't watch the whole Jets game. I did, you know, after we landed on Sunday, you know, I put on the radio I got a little bit of sports time towards the end as the wife was taking a nap. And I listened to the final drive, and I got to say, I didn't feel like the Jets were going to get a stop. Even though it was Jacoby Brissett in, even though it was the Patriots. This season, and you can talk about Rodgers and the offense all you want, it falls on this defense. This defense is supposed to be dominant. This defense, where I saw a graphic at one point on ESPN, that they had the best defensive line, the best linebackers, the best defensive backs. This defense needed to make a stop there, whether it was early in that drive, whether it was the middle of that drive, whether it was the goal line stand on 4th-and-1. I started thinking back to that Giants 2007-2008 run where they lost their first two games. They had to come up with a goal line stand at Washington at the end of the game, 4th down, to preserve their season. If they go to 0-3, Coughlin probably gets fired, and that run doesn't happen. That Giants defense had stones. It had heart. Maybe it had a culture. Maybe it had trust. This Jets unit is less than the sum of their parts. And at 2-6, I think that's it. And I'm really curious how the rest of the year goes with someone like Rodgers, who he has to think, what am I doing here anymore? Right? I mean, they just traded for Davante Adams. Like, this team has no choice but to go full throttle. But they need to go at least 9-1 to have a sniff at the playoffs. And I've been surprised before. But I just, again, so sorry to Jets fans. And I really genuinely mean that. You know, all the hype that they got from national pundits, I feel for them. Now, for the Giants, right, the Giants fans didn't have hope going into this year. There was none. And so when they had some plucky wins, Browns, which ended up not to be that good of a win, Seahawks, yeah, they should have beat the Commanders, who looked really good. Giants haven't had that level of hope. And as I'll stand by what I said, where you want to see building blocks with the Giants. It's not the quarterback. It's not Daniel Jones. Tyrone Tracy, that's another building block to add in. He looks a lot like Ahmad Bradshaw out there, going back 15, 17 years again. So building blocks, that's what it's about. Because golly, it is not Daniel Jones, and I'm going to beat a dead horse. You can't be fooled anymore. You can't. And this Steelers game was actually pretty winnable. You got Russell Wilson fumbling the ball away. We're giving up a punt return for a touchdown. We're settling for field goals. Look, the delay of games can't happen anymore. But with Daniel Jones, you know, he's not running anymore. I don't understand, which is like a key part of his element. And that's probably my frustration as a fantasy football owner, because my team's in last place now in my biggest, most important fantasy league. The one I won last year, I'll say. But I'm in last place with Jones. You know, I took him on. But once the defense gets that fumble from Russell Wilson, next drive, Daniel puts a fumble of his own down. And sure, TJ Watt, you know, destroyed Umaniora on the right side. And just no awareness from Jones, fumbles. But then again, the defense makes a stop. And actually, Dable, that 12 men on the field, guys, that wasn't, you know, typical Giants disorganization. That was purposeful by Dable to get, you know, 2nd-and-3 for the Steelers, to get them into a 1st-and-10 quicker to that, so you can use timeouts. And they got the ball back with 2 minutes left. And I'm like, is this the time? Is this Daniel's time? He's moving the ball down the field. We're on the 40-30-yard line. And on comes an alligator arms interception. And that's my point from the beginning of the year, from the preseason I was saying it. He just doesn't have that, like, feel for the pocket. He gets rattled. He didn't need to float that over the middle. There were other guys open. I can't stand you apologists for Daniel Jones anymore. Those alligator arms, this is done. And I really want to see other folks. I want to see other folks play this year. So that's it for the Giants. Let's move on to the Yankees. Who are in the World Series? We got to start with that, right? First time in 15 years. They're now down 3-0 to the Dodgers. And look, I came into the series, I said Dodgers in five or six. I got a deep look at the Dodgers versus the Mets. A very hot, very together, very about this moment Mets team. It took them to six games, but the Dodgers were just lethal, man. And that's what we're seeing in the series. I mean, the scores look kind of close, but it's clear the National League was better this year. It's clear the Yankees had a cakewalk in. Did we need to see Fat Joe before the game? 5 minutes before the game? Really not connect with the audience who really, really aren't hip-hop Bronxites? You know, there's a wine and cheese crowd there. Did we need to see a mic drop on the field? No, we didn't need to see that. And look, yeah, the Yankees studs have been small. Judge has been small. You know, I like to think given enough chances, he'll figure it out. Chisholm hit the ball hard. But really, it's been Gleyber, Soto, and Stanton as the guys doing damage. You got a Verdugo home run today, sure. Rizzo gets on base, but that's not enough. To me, it comes down to what I talked about earlier also. This Yankees lineup's just not deep enough. The Dodgers lineup is deep. It turns over. You don't have any empty innings. You know, 6-9 in this line. Yankees lineup just doesn't get it done. Anthony Volpe can't be your six hitter. He's not even a league average starting shortstop, and he's hitting six against righties. How is this an okay plan for a potential championship winner? And Rizzo, yeah, Rizzo's getting on base a ton. Crazy stat went around tonight. Last time a Yankees first baseman hit a home run was July 31st. That's first baseman. That's a power position. And so I just have to keep harping on the architects of the Yankees. And it just keeps feeling like they're content just kind of getting in, right? Just do enough to get in. Chips will fall where they may. Moneyball, right? Billy Bean, Oakland A's. How'd that work out for the A's? How many World Series did that team win or even get to? I really didn't enjoy hearing Cashman talk about before the series how he's still bitter about 2017. He's like, oh, the 15-year gap in the World Series doesn't matter because 2017, you know, the team cheated. Sure, why are you still talking about that? But Rizzo, you know, gets on base, yeah, but you need pop. That bottom lineup needs pop. And so where were the extra bats the Yankees went after in the midseason, right? They got Chisholm, great, but here's some other names, right? Isaiah Kiner-Falefa went to the Pirates. 330 on base percentage, 420 slugging percentage. The Yankees knew him. Utility infielder. Couldn't use one more of those. How about Josh Bell? Went to the Diamondbacks. He had 292 and 10 home runs in OPS Plus, right? Remember, OPS Plus takes on base plus slugging, relates it to the median point for that position. OPS Plus of 147 in the second half of the year. That's outstanding. You know he has pop. Justin Turner. Oh, one of these Dodgers faves. Imagine if he was in here against his old team. He had 5 home runs for the Mariners down the stretch after they got him from the Blue Jays. 128 OPS Plus. Not to mention everyone's favorite midseason acquisition, Tommy Edman, who the Dodgers had a nose for sitting on IL with the Cardinals. The Yankees needed to do more. They didn't do it. You know, they beat a weak AL. Lineup's not, you're not going to win games in the World Series scoring 3-2 and 2 runs. I'm not going to hit on catcher much because Austin Wells was looking good. He's just bad timing for a slump. And of course, Verdugo, despite the home run, he's not a starting caliber outfielder. So, like, there were holes. They relied on their big boppers for big stretches throughout this year. The lineup's not deep enough. I thought about it, but I'm not going to get on Clark Schmidt too much. He was really good this year. Yeah, the moment was a little big, but, you know, Freddie Freeman's a fantastic hitter. Could they have gotten more out of the Stroman money? Sure. But, like, you know, the Mets had those signings. You know, Stroman was $18 million a year. The Mets had the signings, Manaea and Severino, for about $13 million. But even those guys couldn't do too much against the Dodgers. You know, Kikuchi went to the Astros, looked good. midseason, 3.49 ERA in the second half. Jack Flaherty. The Yankees ran on him, but then medical concerns let him down. Flaherty's looked pretty good. So this is just, this is your Yankees. Risk averse. Probably happy to get to the World Series. Happy to keep selling out. The wife and I estimated, you know, they're selling tickets about 1,000 a pop. 50,000 people in the stadium. Is that the right math? Where that's $50 million they made today in Game 3. They'll make another $50 million tomorrow. They're probably happy with that. Let's see how they spend it. But it is just, it's sad, right? You know, we're in this championship drought in New York. And let's be honest, we relied on the Yankees for a lot of that. So we're just going to have to keep wallowing in it. You know, just have to keep wallowing in it. I'd love to come back in 3 days and say, all right, we're back to L.A. with the Yankees. They showed some heart. But man, this team, the Yankees team, lacks aura. It lacks like pizzazz and juice. It lacks excitement. And maybe I'm just too biased from the Mets because I saw that in spades. But this Yankees team lacks depth. It lacks excitement. Let's see where it goes. But New York, we're in a tough spot. So Jets, Giants, and Yankees, that could be the last time we give you some real coverage on cleats. A lot of other exciting things come back. I do want to even get more into some just non-beat writer type topics. A lot of other topics I'm interested in. But stay tuned. Keep sharing as we grow this thing. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your week, okay? Take care.